In the book of Mark, chapter number 1, Psalms 91. Look around you this morning and see who's not here. And I tell you what, it'd be good. I got numbers to most of them that ain't here. Some of you lady folks, Miss Kathy and Bobby's missed two Sundays in a row. Some of you lady folks, I got Miss Kathy's number. Probably do you good to call her and tell her we missed her. And some of you men folks, I got Mr. Bobby's number. I got Mauricio's number. And I got others' number. Do you good to call them? I got John's number, John Brinson, and the other John. I got both of theirs' numbers. And if anything, you can text them. If you don't feel like you got words to say, text them and say, we missed you in the house of God. Send them a note. Do something. But I'm telling you, we need to win the lost. And you're never going to win the lost if you don't show no concern for them. I said, you're never going to win the lost if you don't show any concern for them. Talking to some this week about different things and talking about winning the lost. They said, well, our pastor's got no desire. We want to start a nursing home ministry. He said, we just ain't got time. And said, we've talked about starting, maybe going to pick up folks, and we just ain't got time. And he was talking about this one pastor. He said, well, this friend of mine, he's going to start a bus ministry when he has vacation Bible school. But he didn't have time to have vacation Bible school this year, so he's going to have it next year. And he said, that's going to be the gate to open up his bus ministry. I said, walk the Lord comes before he has that vacation Bible school next year. He's going to miss out on all those people he could have witnessed to. Said all that to say this, we can make a lot of excuses why we don't do anything for God. It's the pastor's fault. He won't go with us. I asked him, I said, well, you might not be a preacher, but y'all can sing, can't you? You can testify. If anything else, you can go from room to room. Just tell them you're praying for them, and let them know you care about them. I said, you got a car, go pick folks up. You ain't got to wait on everybody else. Come on now, we'll make a lot of excuses. I live too far off. I do this and I do that. Amen. You know, it's going to come a day when the Lord's going to come back. And if we're not busy about the Father's business, and I'm noticing more and more, I've said it time and time again here lately, you start talking about witnessing, going out and building the church, and they cut you off real quick. I said, they'll cut you off real quick. You want to talk about, messages they've heard that they like, they'll talk about that. And they'll talk about things that don't require them to do anything. But when you start talking about doing something for God and being judged for it, and folks cut you off, they don't want to hear it. And they'll act like you ain't said anything. But I'm telling you, whether they hear me or not, and then whether you help me or not, what you have, and I'm thankful for it, that the church is moving, and our folks are doing things for God, but whether you help me or not, I'm not going to be held accountable for all that. I'm going to be held accountable for what I've done. I said, for what I've done. I mean, everybody in here has got a ministry they can have. I mean, really, everybody in here has got something they can do for the Lord. Amen. Sister Gail sews. Amen. That could be a ministry within itself. Amen. Sister Martha bakes cakes. Amen. That could be a ministry within itself. Amen. We all got ministries that we can do and do things. And I know we can start off with those cake chairs, Sister Martha. I'll talk to you at church about that and a ministry. Amen. Helping the ministry. That'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? Amen. And I can help you. Amen. We all got things we can do for the Lord. And we just need to do them. Don't make excuses why you can't. I said, don't make excuses why you can't. Amen. You and God together. That's why I was talking to Neil last night. I said, you know, the devil's going to fight you hard all the way. I said, because the longer you're saved, the stronger your testimony. Amen. The longer you're saved. He's got a testimony now, but the longer he's saved, the Lord tarries 2 years down the road, and he stays saved, which I'm believing he is, he's going to have a stronger testimony. Amen. Going to be greater for the Lord. And we need to do all we can for him. Psalms chapter 91, verse number 11. And the Bible says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, not in some, but in all thy ways. Mark chapter number 1. I was praying last night, and I forgot. Well, didn't really forget, didn't have time, and didn't work out. Forgot I was supposed to cut the church grass, and I was out here about 9:30. And I had the lights on trying to cut it, and I come over here earlier to see if I missed any spots. I said, Seth, I did pretty good for cutting it in the dark with the headlights of the lawnmower, didn't I? He said, you missed the spot. Somebody said yesterday or other day, said, Brother Tabor said, or somebody said, you did good, but. And they said, Brother Wayne Conaway said that, or Brother Thomas Rowder. Said, you did good, but. He said, that kind of ruins us. That's kind of ruined my grass cutting right there. See, I said, you missed the spot. But even I was over here praying and thinking about the church and thinking about what God would have me to do. And, I told Michelle I was coming over to the church to pray before I come home. And I was out on the lawnmower. I thought, man, what a better time to pray out here. And just outside, I got to praying on the lawnmower, and God spoke this to my heart. And I never noticed the difference. But if you read Matthew's account and also Luke's account of the temptation of Christ, Mark does not go into detail like they did. Amen. But he put something out here that they did not include. And that's a great thing about having the writers of these Gospels. Amen. They add so much to each other. They're not contradicting each other, but they're seeing things from a different perspective. A different person's looking at it. And they see something that's important, and they wrote it down. And Mark chapter number 1, verse number 9. And the Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. I want you to listen to this verse, verse number 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, not just fasting, not just praying, but the Bible says tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Amen. Bow your heads this morning. Ask God to help us in the remainder of this service. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your goodness and your wonderful works for the children of men. And God, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus to help us in the remainder of this service. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done, how you've helped us and how you have touched us in past services. But we ask you this morning, God, to move Lord, just to have your way here and touch hearts and lives. We'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. You read this story, and some accounts here are the same as in other Gospels. And one of those being that the Bible said that Jesus was baptized of John, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Amen. You know, even Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, amen, needed that anointing upon his life. Amen. That touch from heaven. Amen. Jesus said, amen, that the Spirit of God was upon him and had anointed him to preach that gospel. Amen. To the blind and to the sick. And bring that message of the Lord to those that were hurting. And here the Lord anoints him for that ministry. And can I tell you, if we're ever going to do anything for God, amen, we need to be Spirit-filled. I said we need to be Spirit-filled in this life. Amen. In Acts, the book of Acts, when they even appointed the deacons of the church, amen, men that were to minister and take care of the needs, to wait on tables, amen, and do those things while the disciples or the apostles applied their lives to prayer and study of the Word of God. Amen. They didn't just go gather up men off the streets, men that were young converts and knew nothing about God, but they got men full of the Holy Ghost, amen, to minister, to wait on tables. Amen. That symbolizes to me and signifies the importance of the Spirit in our life. Amen. If we had more Spirit-filled services, Jesus. Amen. If we had more Spirit-led and filled Christians, what would the world be like? Amen. We've took a lot of things and we filled our lives with that. Amen. We filled our lives with, amen, tradition. We filled our lives with ceremony. Amen. Some with bitterness and hatred, envy and strife. Amen. Different things can fill the life of men and women. Amen. But I want to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Have that upon my life. Amen. That seal of God's power. Amen. Not working only around me and with me, but in me and through me. Amen. Let's have a Spirit-led life. Amen. Jesus was Spirit-led. Amen. That Spirit came down upon Him there at the Jordan. The Bible said that dove descended upon Him. And not only that, He was approved of God. Amen. He was assured, amen, by the Lord. Amen. The Bible said that God spoke out of heaven in that audible voice that they heard and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well please." Amen. What is greater than that assurance that comes from the Lord? Amen. There's been times in my life, amen, maybe not in an audible voice, amen, but that still small voice that speaketh to the heart of man. Amen. When God has spoke to me in times of darkness, in times of trial, and amen, that voice has spoken to me and assured me that I was right. Amen. I remember when we finished that church there in Alma and sitting up on the top of that mountain. And it was finished and we were looking at it. And I thought, now we've got a church and where are the people? Amen. Folks have begun to scatter. Amen. The newness had wore off. And converts were beginning to backslide. Amen. The pull of the world was on them. And I thought, hey, what can we do? Are we in that place? And all of a sudden the Lord spoke to my heart. And Brother Arthur, for no doubt, at that moment I was in the center of God's will. Amen. I didn't want to go anywhere. I was afraid to even move from that spot. I thought, Lord, what a perfect place to be. Amen. Right in the center of your will. I had doubts in my mind. Amen. The devil told me that I had missed it. But that assurance of God. Amen. I said that assurance of God made the difference at that moment. And can I tell you that assurance we get from the Word. Amen. That assurance we get from, amen, the Lord speaking to our hearts is worth it. I said it's worth the price we have to pay sometimes to get a hold to it. Amen. A lot of times, amen, folks don't have that assurance. Amen. Because they're busy telling God what's all wrong. Amen. They're busy asking God for this and that. It'd do us quite good sometimes. Amen. Just to be quiet and listen to what the Lord's saying. I hadn't heard God, amen, speak to me in a while. Amen. Maybe you hadn't been quiet enough and still enough before Him. Amen. To hear what He's got to say. Amen. Maybe you haven't pushed aside the world and pushed aside flesh. Amen. To hear what God is saying to your heart and life. Having that assurance in my life. Amen. Having that approval of God on a ministry and that anointing is more important to me than ever pleasing man. I said it's more important to me than ever pleasing man. Amen. When I was out evangelizing, I ain't bragging, I'm just telling you how it went. And some of them fellas would say, "Man, I don't see how you do it." And Brother Arthur, one week I might be over at a church. I mean, they didn't believe in women wearing the hair down. And they didn't believe in all kind of things. Amen. Some didn't believe in going to the doctor. And I mean, stuff that I didn't believe. And the next week I might be at a church they would say was liberal because they believed those things. And one brother asked me, he said, "Amen, how
how do you do it? He said, do you just tell them that's how you believe? I said, no, I'm always straightforward. I had one guy call me one time, asked me to come preach. I said, now, brother, I know I was preaching for that other brother when you saw me. Amen. But I don't believe like that all the way. I do believe in living holy before God. Amen. I do believe in living holiness. Amen. But I don't believe this and that that they believe. But yet it got me anyway. Amen. More than making men pleased with me. And more than having somebody pat me on the back and saying, oh, I'm well. Amen. I think well of you. Amen. That's good in its place. I want the approval of God all my life. Amen. We was talking at work, and some were saying, well, this don't happen to us. They don't get agitated with us like they do you. Amen. They don't get mad at you at us like they do you. I said, you know why? Because you giggle at the dirty jokes. I don't. Amen. You laugh when they say the dirty words. I tell them I don't appreciate it. Amen. I'm not trying just to keep a job. I'm not trying to say that I fit in and have somebody say I'm a part of the crowd. Or a part of the work family. Amen. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to make them all mad and against me. But more than the approval of man, I need the approval of God on my life. And it's hard for me to believe that you can laugh at their dirty jokes. Amen. That you never say nothing about their foul mouths and the way they act. That God is approving that. Amen. That God's condoning. Amen. Your talk. Tolerance and your lack of amen doing anything and standing for what's right. Amen. Jesus wasn't looking for the crowd necessarily. Amen. He was looking for God to be with him. Amen. I'm glad that he anointed him. I'm glad that he assured him. Thank God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, I got to hurry. And the Bible said, and immediately the Spirit dwelleth, amen, driveth him into the wilderness. Amen. Ain't that contradictory, seems like right there. I mean, God's coming down. Amen. Jesus is anointed of the Holy Ghost, falls upon him. Amen. God says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. Comes up out of that Jordan, and all of a sudden, amen, the Spirit cast him out into the wilderness. That's what that word means. If you look it up in Strong's and you do a word study on that word, it means to actuate. Amen. To stir up. To compel. To cast. Amen. Like they did with demons. The only other time it's used in the Bible is when demons were cast out of people. Amen. And it's used in that sense. So literally the Bible saying that the Spirit cast. Amen. The Spirit impelled. Amen. The Spirit moved. Amen. The Spirit pushed Jesus into the wilderness. I read after Adam Clark and he said this. Amen. The path of duty. Amen. That's that path the Spirit leads you down. Amen. That path might not always seem like the reasonable path. It might not always seem like the easiest route to go. Amen. But he said the path of duty is always the greatest path of safety. Amen. Because the Spirit will go with you. Amen. Jesus was led into the wilderness. Amen. Not there to only commune and be alone with God, but to be tempted of Satan himself. I mean, the devil came to him and the devil began, amen, to minister or try to tempt him and try to break down that ministry. Can I tell you this morning? I said, can I tell you this morning? The Spirit has took me some places that I didn't necessarily want to be, but the Spirit has kept me in those places. I said, the Spirit has kept me in those places. Amen. Kept me in safety. Amen. Kept me by His power. Amen. Kept me by His touch. Oh, I'm glad this morning that a spirit man, a spirit led man or woman can make it. For I'm not walking in the flesh. Amen. But I'm being led by that spirit. I said, I'm being led by that spirit. I said, Lord, lead me and I will follow. Amen. One man was walking down the road. True story. I read it in the memoirs about Stonewall Jackson. Amen. And said one man was walking down the road. He was part of the Confederate Army. And he didn't know what Stonewall Jackson looked like. But he'd heard the stories. He heard about what kind of man he was. Stern and disciplined. A praying man. And all of a sudden Stonewall Jackson came up to him. On that horse, and that man was walking down the road. He said, what's your name? He said, I don't know. He said, what unit do you fight with? Amen. He said, I do not know. He said, boy, where are you from? He said, I do not know. And he said, you don't know where you're from. You don't know your name. He said, you don't know what regiment you're with. How can that be? Amen. That boy said that Stonewall Jackson has given the orders. Amen. That we are to be know-nothings. Amen. Till this war is over. We're to know nothing but fighting. Amen. We're to know nothing but defending. We're to know nothing but doing what we can. He said, therefore, I know nothing. Amen. All of a sudden, they said, or General Jackson wrote, he said, a smile came upon my face. Amen. That one man would take the orders of another and put them to heart. Amen. That man, no, I knew he knew his name. And you know he knew his name. But he made up in his mind that's what the general said to do. To be a know nothing but fighting. Amen. And bravery. And that's what he had on his heart. I might not know what the world has to offer. I might not have the knowledge that they have. But I know when the Spirit tugs on my heart. I know when God compels. I know when God speaks. And that makes the difference. I said in our lives, amen, that we are led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. A lot of times we'll go places. Amen. And have to do things that others would never do. That's being led by the Spirit. Amen. I said that's being led by the Spirit. Amen. Neil, it'll make you go to people and witness to them. Amen. That years ago, amen, you didn't want to witness to. Amen. Years ago, it had nothing for. It'll make you go to people. Like Brother Larry West said. Amen. Brother Larry West's wife was killed in a drunk driving incident. Amen. A man, it might have been a woman in another car killed his wife and the baby was with her and the baby survived. That's his oldest boy. And they had to go to court. And Brother Larry West said, one of the hardest things I ever did was walk up to that woman before he went in the courtroom and said, I forgive you and the Lord loves you. And he told her the plan of salvation. Amen. Men would say that's crazy and foolish. Amen. But they, amen, when your spirit led. I said, when your spirit led. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us it's life. Amen. It's peace and joy. It's power. Why? Because we're led of that Spirit. Amen. Not only was he led. Amen. Not only was he compelled to go into that wilderness, when he got there, he was attacked. Amen. Of the devil. I mean, that devil was on him. We know the accounts of Matthew and Luke. Amen. Where he took him up. And he said, amen, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus wouldn't do it. He took him up on that pinnacle, set him up above all the land, and said, amen, cast thyself down. And the angels, amen, that have charge shall hold thee up. Amen. Jesus knew. I said, Jesus knew about those angels. He knew about the care that they had. Amen. He had been dwelling with them all since the beginning. Amen. I take that back. In eternity, there is no beginning. He'd been with them. He knew how they were. He knew their command. He knew their loyalty. But he said, I ain't going to tempt God. I'm not going to tempt God. Amen. That devil was on him. It wasn't one day he came to him and said, hey, I'm going to do all these things. Gave him those three temptations. It might have been one day he did that. Amen. But Mark said for 40 days he was tempted in that wilderness. Amen. Can I tell you, amen, in the wilderness we consider it a lonely place. He was deserted, it seemed like. I think about on the cross when he cried, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen. I'm going to preach whether you help me or not. Come on now. I'm telling you this morning, amen, he was there alone, deserted, no doubt felt like, amen, away from everybody. The disciples wasn't there. The crowd is gone. And every day the devil was on him to give in. Amen. To let down. Amen. Just to walk away. And even I believe it was Luke that said that the devil left him alone after he had tempted him. Amen. Just for a certain time. And he was back on him again. Didn't say that, but we know it. Amen. He was on him again. He was tempted in all ways, as were we. I'm telling you this morning, that devil will attack. He'll make you feel isolated. He'll make you feel deserted and alone. That's why I stress coming to the house of God. I said, that's why I stress coming to the house of God. Amen. One man said, Sunday morning's attendance shows how much you love the church. Amen. Sunday night shows how much you love the pastor. Amen. Wednesday night prayer meeting shows how much you love God. Amen. I want to love God in every service. Amen. That's why we come to the house of God, to have fellowship, to receive instruction. Amen. Exhortation. Amen. To receive those things that can help us. But sometimes we're all alone. Amen. Sometimes driving down the road. Amen. Sometimes in the midnight hour. Amen. That devil comes in and he begins to attack. He begins to flood our minds with thoughts. He begins to tell us we're no good. He begins to tempt us with those things. And he knows we have a weakness in. But not only that, the Bible said he was wild with the wild beast. Amen. Can you imagine? I imagine sometimes. Amen. How that must have been. That's not a thought about it. The first time I've ever noticed that in Scripture. He said he was tempted of 40 days by the devil in the wilderness with the wild beast. Hey, man. You know, you picture that. Not only has he been tempted, he was out there in those mountains. And all of a sudden, amen, those animals are around. I know he's Jesus. Amen. I know he's Jesus. Think about that. I remember, you know, up in the jungle, sometimes we'd have to walk and spend the night in different places. When I was up in Alma and not doing work with those Indians. And I forget what it was. We'd seen some type of animal. And when I saw that thing, man, I jumped back. And it scared me. I said, oh, it's all right. It won't attack you. I remember we went into one man's house, and there was a big skin of some type of big cat, lion or something. I don't know what it was. They tried to tell me. I couldn't understand in Spanish what they were saying. Amen. But it was some big skin. And I asked that man, I said, how'd you get that skin? And he said, pulled out a knife. He showed the hole where he had stabbed it. He said, I stabbed it and killed it. He said, and I skinned it out and put that skin. Amen. Show me what I'd done. And he's talking about those things. And they said, you know, you got to worry about these things. But the thing to worry about is those white-faced monkeys. Amen. Said they got a white face and black, amen, hair. And I said, they're dangerous. I said, really? They said, yeah. So they're not afraid of humans. They'll come right in the camp. If they want something, they'll take it. And you get in their way, they will attack you. One man said, I don't know if this is true. That's what they said. Said some soldiers were camped up in there. And they come in during the night, got a hold of those plates and knives. And those coffee cups made out of tin. And they tore them like it wasn't nothing, like tearing tinfoil. And he said, they're strong. But I remember one night, spending the night in the place. And you could hear those monkeys. They was everywhere. And they were screeching and screaming. Sounded like they was right on top of you. He said they were miles away. They just carried through the jungle. And I remember how my hard race. I begin to think about what they talked about, how dangerous those animals were. And there he was in a dangerous place. Amen. Physically. But I'm telling you, spiritually, amen, if that devil can get you alone, he begin to talk to you and tell you how alone you are, how deserted you are, and how dangerous it is. Amen. You'll never make it. You know why? Because that lion is as a roaring lion roaming to and fro. Amen. He's trying to devour. Amen. He still kills and destroys. That's what the devil will tell you. Amen. The devil will tell you that lion is powerful. Amen. That lion, amen, is so great that there's no way to defeat him. And you feel all alone and deserted. You feel that danger's on every side. Amen. You're being tempted of the devil. And your heart's getting discouraged. And you seem like you can't hold your head up. Amen. Spiritually and physically, you're worn. Have you ever been like that? Amen. I feel like I'm preaching to somebody. You're trying to hold your head up. Amen. You're trying to stay above water. You're trying to tread, if you will, and just get through the trial. Amen. But every time you turn, you get knocked down. Amen. Talking to Brother Josh last night, texting. He said, it seems like the more I try to do for God, the more the devil fights. Amen. That's been going on for years. And the more you try to live for God, amen, the more the devil's going to come against you. He'll make you feel like you're the only one doing anything. He'll make you feel like nobody cares. He'll make you feel like there's no way out. Danger's on every side. But I like what the Bible said. Amen. In chapter 1, verse number 13. And the Bible said, and Satan was with, amen, Satan tempted of Satan and was with the wild beast. But listen to this. And the Bible said, and the angels, hallelujah, I got happy when I got to thinking about that. Amen. I stopped the lawnmower right out here in back. When I thought about that scripture, I stopped the lawnmower, lifting my hands, and I said, thank God. Amen. The angels ministered unto him. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. You read the scripture, and you take your time and you read it. You might not remember it at that point, but when God will bring it back to your memory. Amen. I couldn't remember reading this. But I've read the book of Mark, amen, every year. Amen. Different times, reading my Bible through. And I never, amen, even realized. I reckon I did, but I didn't remember it. Amen. I was on that lawnmower last night, and the Lord brought this up to my mind, and he said, it's different than in Matthew and Luke. I ain't never seen that before. Maybe you have. I'm slow. I just got it. Amen. I got thinking about that. I said, and I had my phone. Well, I didn't have my phone. Come here and got a Bible. Amen. I reached for my phone. Didn't have it. And I had a little Bible on it. I come in here and got a Bible out of the closet. And I looked it up right quick. And surely it goes through these things that Jesus was tempted of. But it does not say what Mark said. In that time he was ministered unto by the angels. Can I tell you that word ministers right there? Amen. Means to strengthen, uphold. But I like what Strong said about it. It means to arm for warfare. Amen. To equip for battle. Amen. Can you imagine Jesus himself being tempted of the devil and those angels that were made to serve him in heaven? Amen. Those cherubims that cry, holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, which is to come. Amen. Talking and worshiping him. Amen. They've come down from on high. Amen. Heavenly messengers, one man said. Amen. Sent down to earth below. And man that was made a little lower than the angels. Read the book of Hebrews. And the Bible said he became, amen, man made a little lower than the angels. And David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou dost visiteth him? For thou has made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with honor. Thank God. I don't know nothing. us this morning. But I know the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them. Amen. The glory to God. It didn't say angels. It didn't say legions. I got to thinking about how powerful an angel is. How they can destroy nations. How they can stand against the enemy. And God said the angel of the Lord encampeth about them. Thank God. To encamp means to pitch a tent. Amen. To camp means, amen, to surround. I thought about that last night. And I thought about my angel has set up tent. He's driven down the stakes. And he says, I'm here for you. Amen. God sent me. Amen. God has sent me to care for you. Amen. To be a protection. Amen. About them. Amen. And deliver them. I'm glad this morning that there are attending angels in time of distress. I said, I'm glad this morning that there's help in time of danger. I'm glad this morning, amen, that there, amen, is an assurance and anointing in time of peril.
Amen, that gets me happy right there. You ever read Cross and Switchblade? Or you ever read the account of David Wilkerson? Where was it? He was on that bridge somewhere. And boys came up to him. He was witnessing to him. And all of a sudden, they started backing off. Later on, he said, why's y'all scared of me, old skinny preacher? He says, there's two big guys with you. Amen. There's those two big guys with you. We weren't scared of you. Those two big guys with you. Amen. Angels. Angels. I know a lot of folks don't believe him. Amen. Mine's around here somewhere. Amen. The Bible says he encampeth. Amen. I said he encampeth. Amen. Attending, ministering to. Oh, thank God this morning. I said, thank God this morning. I'm trying to get my thoughts together. Amen. Ain't that I'm just messed up here and lost my place. It ain't just I'm at a loss of words. I'm just thinking about that angel somewhere. Amen. That's on my side. Amen. I'm just thinking about the care of God. Amen. That God said, listen, leave your throne a position. Amen. Step out of the glory world. Amen. If they got wings, I need you to fly down. Transport. Ever how you get there. I've got a new convert. Amen. You reckon when the Bible says the angels rejoice. This is just me. Amen. The book of First Opinions. Amen. Written by Brother Jim. Chapter number one. You reckon when the Bible says that the angels rejoice over one sinner. Amen. That's saved. You reckon those angels go, yes. Hallelujah. Another one's been poured out of fire. Another one's been saved by the grace of God. Amen. Can I go help him? Will I be the one sent to be by his side? Amen. In the wilderness, you've got the devil, the beast. You've got the enemy all around. But Jesus, amen, was strengthened. He was equipped by the angels.
What come to my mind? Oh, Samson is out there. And the Bible said, let me read it to you. I wrote it down. And Samson, then went Samson down his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyard, amen, of Timnath, and behold, a young lion warred against him. And the Spirit came mightily upon him. Amen. You ever heard a lion roar? Heard it one time, and one just really roared out. It was in the zoo in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we're standing right in front of that cage, and they said it paralyzed you when a lion roars. Amen. We was probably, he's in a cage. We had a little rope there, and I ain't never been that close to one. You know, most of them's out. And they got me in these holes, and you can't hardly see them. And up on the top of this thing, that lion roared, Brother Arthur. Man, my heart's, ugh. I mean, I knew he couldn't get to me, but something about that thing, that lion roared, you could just feel that vibrate inside of you. I mean, it's intimidating. Amen. When that lion roared, I mean, when that devil came, amen, and he began to tempt and he began to talk, that accuser of the brethren, amen, that says you're no good and sorry, amen, just a roaring, but putting out blasphemy, amen, telling you how bad the church is, telling you how bad God is, roar, roar. I mean, he's a roaring. But all of a sudden, the Bible said that lion roared, and the Spirit came. Amen. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he'll lift up that banner against him. I'm telling you this morning, I can't be overthrown. Only way I can is to let down my guard and give up on God. I got the angels. I've got the Spirit. I've got God on my side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? I'm about to get happy. Amen. I think I will anyway. I'm telling you, I'm excited. Amen. They pulled back that stone. And the king asked, "Oh, Daniel. Oh, Daniel." And Daniel said, "Oh, king, live forever. For the Lord has sent what? Angels. And he has shut the lion's mouth." Amen. You might not like this. Amen. But the angels shut the lion up. I mean, it shut him up. Amen. Sealed those lips together. And it couldn't say a word. Amen. I've been times I felt like the devil's breathing down my back. I felt like he was telling me things I couldn't take no more. And all of a sudden, I felt some relief. I felt him back off. I wonder if that old angel just said, "That's enough, big boy. You better go stand over there. You better leave this one alone." Amen. That's all he can bear right now. Amen. The devil says, "I'll send my demons." He pulls out that sword and says, "Send them on." Amen. "I'll fight for him. I'll keep them off at bay." I'm thinking about young converts. I'm thinking about saints of God that's come down to the altar and seemed like couldn't get through. All of a sudden, they had a breakthrough. That angel standing behind them, I said, "Now it's time for help. I've got a minister. I've got to attend to holding off the demons at bay and giving us liberty in the Lord."
Maybe I'm just preaching to me. I sure am liking it. Amen. I sure am liking it. How many has ever read this Present Darkness? If you hadn't, you need to read it. I know it's fiction, but you need to read it. And it's a good book. In that book, it talks about how the more we pray, the stronger the angels get. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but it gives you a look. Some folks say, "I just like to see everything that's going on. I'd have my eyes open." I don't think I would. See all the demonic activity. It talks about those demons that are strengthened by us compromising, us doing things that are wrong. And those angels that grow stronger by the prayer of the saints. Guarding houses, guarding people. I went home last night. I studied, everybody asleep. Dog kept barking. All of a sudden, prison voice, she just, "Yip, yip, 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 yip." Like something got a hold to her. Oh man, maybe some dog out there. I heard a car drive by. Now your mind starts. Walked outside, looked around, didn't see nothing. Here she come up on the porch. I said, "Well, whatever got him, let's turn it loose." I was sitting out there, Brother Arthur, and it was dark. There weren't no stars out. And it was dark. I thought, man, what is the ADT? I ain't got it. I got a front door lock. And man, a good swift kick probably tear that in. That's a trailer door. Hey, man. Sister Rachel will tell you how fancy those doors, those screen doors are, can't you? Sister Rachel. Hey, man. And they can break in an instant. Oh, man. If somebody really wanted us, they'd get us. You know, some of the folks say, "I'll pull my gun, I'll shoot them." I'm going to protect my family any way I can. You hear me? I'm going to do all I can to protect my family. I don't know if I can. It's going to be a hard decision to make. Kill a man. I thought about last night, man. I got a gun. Got bullets. You know, you can miss a man if you shoot at him. You can hit him and keep on coming. But that angel. If God don't want him in, he ain't coming in. I thought, man, I got to go sleep sometime, don't you? You know, I mean, what do you do when somebody's just standing over you? I get my gun.
Oh, yeah, you will. Go ahead. You can't. Yeah. And now he's standing over you. You're going to be so paralyzed, probably fear. You don't know what to do. But I thought, man, I could lay in my bed, close my eyes, and know that when I go to sleep, amen, though my protection, my physical protection, might be a little ways off to the bedside or in a dresser drawer somewhere, amen, but my spiritual protection and my physical protection from God, amen, I look unto the hills from whence cometh my help cometh from the Lord. That neither sleeps nor slumbers. Amen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every second of the day, every day of the year. Amen. My God is on patrol. Amen. David said, surely goodness and mercy, amen, shall follow me all the days of my life. I believe it was Adam Clark that said, those are the horsemen or the footmen that run in front of the carriage to make sure everything's all clear up front. I'm glad this morning that God has gave me protection, but not only protection, help in the time of trial. He said in that time of temptation, the angels ministered. I said the angels ministered. Amen. Let them do what they want to. Let the lions and the demons surround us. But just like David, amen, he could send an angel and shut the lion's mouth. But I'm glad this morning I ain't just got angels, but that spirit that dwelled, amen, among us, amen, that spirit that dwelled around us, now dwells in us. I said, then powers us, it keeps us, it's a ministering spirit, it's a guiding spirit. You know what I like to tell the devil? I'd like to shout it like Brother Muscle McDonald said, in the mouth to hell. I said, I like to shout in the mouth to hell, O King, live forever. Amen. The lines have been shut up, and I am still okay. I made it through the midnight. Amen. I've come out of the wilderness. How did you come? Come out of the wilderness. Leaning on the arm. I said, leaning on the arm. I said, leaning on the arm of the Lord. I'll close with this. I saw a thing somewhere years ago. This old boy had been shot in Vietnam. And the medic, in the midst of fire, had him, dragging him. It was one of those old Vietnam reels, you know what I'm talking about? That old boy wasn't walking like Brother Arthur is. He's just dragging. You can tell that strain was on that old boy. He was pouring him out. Let's talk about how those medics go in the fire unarmed with nothing but a bag and risk their lives to save others. You might not be able to walk out on your own. Amen. If you'll cry out for help, he'll bring you out. Stand to your feet with us this morning. Oh, I'm telling you, I've rejoiced in this since yesterday. It's amazing to me, and I've been serving God for a little while now. It's amazing to me how God can bring things to your mind and put it together. I mean, I've had thoughts that I preached on. I knew it from God, and God just gave me a thought, and I prayed, and I had to put it together myself, what I felt like God wanted me to say. As I prayed about this yesterday, me on the lawnmower, God began to give me scripture, instances. Amen. Begin to bring them to my heart. I was on that lawnmower. Those lights were dim. I was trying to make sure I didn't miss spots. And I was driving along. Amen. It's dark. I thought, even my way is dim. Even when I feel like I'm missing things. You know, I was saying to myself, Neil, delayed obedience is disobedience. I thought, man, I could have got up early one day this week and I could have done this. Wouldn't be out here at midnight trying to cut grass. I thought, all my ignorance and my shortcomings, God still watches over me. He still watches over me. He'll do the same for you. Man, I feel the Lord.
and 90-some years of age, God's still watching over Brother Herschel. How many has been saved over 20 years? Raise your hand. How many has been saved over 30 years? Raise your hand. Can anybody testify and tell me God hadn't kept you? How many can say over all those years you've served Him, He's been a minister to hell? To a young convert, Brother Neil, alone, surrounded by folks that try to put you down, try to test you, God said, just like these ones I've kept for 30 years, I'll keep you. What a thought. The altar's open. Everybody would, let's come in, let's pray, ask God to help us. And won't you think about how God